say good morning to each and every one of you. I know I missed speaking to many of you this morning. Again, I'm thankful for the privilege and blessing of coming and being with you here, asking to send your prayers. So many things take place that's sometimes beyond my control. I've always had the feeling that I didn't like to be called on first. That's me. In my years and my forgetfulness, so oftentimes, as we were speaking, me and Brother Jamie, some of us a while ago, that during the week sometimes you can get into a portion of Scripture that you are just so excited about, so encouraged about, and you think that when Sunday morning or you're called to the stand, that this is just going to really work well. It never seems to happen that way. Never seems, not for me, it hasn't. And, I ask that you pray for me. You know, sometimes I think, and I can go back to my experiences before I felt that the Lord called me and encouraged me to speak to his people, that I think sometimes that I looked so much towards the preaching that I forgot my duties, that I really had the same duty then, being a servant of the Lord. And you know, good preaching should bring about good manners, and is kind of what I'm saying. And, you know, I know I failed there. I go to meetings, and I was more taken in about wanting to hear good preaching and so forth. And then it seems so oftentimes that even though the preaching was good and was blessed in good preaching, that for some reason it just seemed to be of no avail, that it didn't bring forth that which God's Word ought to. You know, we take God's Word, I think, too lightly so oftentimes. What God says is serious. It's not to be taken lightly. It's the truth. And you know, that's one of the greatest blessings that we'll ever enjoy here in this life, and that's to be blessed. Amen. With the ability to believe the truth. To believe the truth. You know, that's one of the requirements, one of the things that we should be really concerned about, is that we are in the truth. And, you know, I find Paul, and if I can find this portion of Scripture, pray for him. Goodness, I probably lost it. But anyway, let me read a portion of Colossian letter here, and I might run across it. But kind of what I'm saying is that, you know, the preaching, the effect that preaching should have on the congregation and those, as we hear the Word of God, is that it should, really and truthfully, ought to send the congregation, us that hear it. We should go forth almost as preachers also. And we find Paul in the portion of Scripture that I'm talking about, in Colossian letter, and it's one of the letters in the Scriptures that Paul was very mindful of the condition of the church there, and how that they were faithful to the truth, and how that they were fulfilling that which I'm talking about. He was just overjoyed in seeing the way that they were walking and their faith that they had in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, if we don't see some results, if we're not seeing results in what we're doing, I don't care what it is, naturally in this life. You know, if we go out and plant a crop, if we go out and do this and that, if we don't see some results, it can become depressing. It can become discouraging. And I say to you, to me today, I think that's a large portion of what's happened to the Lord's people, that we kind of fell asleep. We fell asleep in the gospel. We don't take it seriously. I hear the brother sometime back preach, and it's come to my mind so many times, and I have to think, and is that where I'm at? Am I just playing church? Am I just doing this for the enjoyment of the day, the enjoyment of the flesh? Or am I really truthfully and honestly, with a pure heart, did I come this morning to worship and to praise the Lord, to help and pray that the Lord would bless me in a way as his servant to edify his people? You know, the thing that is so important, that we as servants ought to be doing everything that we can, not just here in the church house, not just as we sit here. You know, I've said this so many times. The only way that this building, this congregation here, would ever grow, if it's just going to be from inside this building, it's going to eventually fade away. If under the conditions and what I see today continues. And you know, one of the things that comes to mind there, and I know, and I have seen, and I have experienced, and I hope and pray. I know that I don't have many days left on this earth. According to the age that we normally attain, but I know, and I've been blessed to see and understand some things. I have seen families that was raised up, children that were raised up and taken to church, that were respected their parents, and that when Sunday morning or whenever time come to church, they went to church. And I say to you today that I know where there are some of these at, and I know that they're still in church, and I know that they attend church on a regular basis, and that they have joined the church and become members of it. I think there's too many young people in this country today, even amongst us, that the younger generation knows nothing. We have not taught them the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. We have not raised up in it. We have not said, you go your way, just leave them alone. The Lord will take care of you. And he did, and in the world or wherever is where they went. It was our duty. It was a duty of the parents from the beginning. And I've said this over and over and over again, and I'm not here today to make fun of public schools and things such as we have in this day and time. But I say to you that if the school system and what we see going on in this country that we live in today, in a country that God has blessed so mightily that I don't even know how to explain to you how greatly he has blessed this country. There's not many people in this world, wide all over as it is, that are blessed with the great privileges, the blessings, and the wonderful life that we can enjoy here in this life. And so many of us today try to enjoy it outside of the realms of God, outside of the fear of God. We become our own gods. We do, go, and say, and do whatever we please. We have not raised our children up in the church. We have not raised them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I say that when I've seen this and when this happened, I can't believe. You know, this troubles me, and I say, and so oftentimes I know we fuss and we say, well, ought not to worry about the church. The Lord will take care of the church. And sure, the Lord will take care of the church. You know, I talked to the brother downstairs after the good breakfast this morning. You know, the Lord said there in the early days of the church that was added daily or added whenever such as should be saved. Such as should be saved. I said to the brother this morning, just all around us, look, and there's so many There's so many of our, if you will call them that, friends and neighbors and ones that live next door and so close that I know their lives, I know how they live, and I hope and I pray that the Lord would give them repentance, that they could repent from what they're doing and become such as should be saved. I say there is so many today, and there is visitors that comes and sits in our church today, that if they asked for membership in the church, you could not accept them. You could not accept them. And you know, it just keeps on. It's worse and worse and worse as it grows. There's things in this country today that I don't know how to talk about it even. And I don't know when I should and whether I could. But there is things going on in this church today. Not in this church, I'm sorry. Going on in this great land that we've been blessed to live in, that's even beyond, I think, some of the wickedness and the evils that I see written about in the scriptures. And you know, God's not pleased with that. And you know, the thing that really troubles me is how does people want to separate themselves from that you've been blessed to know and to understand. And that the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done in our stead. Lord, if you take that away, I heard a good preacher on a tape that I had in their car coming up the road make that statement. If you take that away, I got nothing left. If you take that away, if you take him away, if you take what he did away, I just don't know. I have no idea. I hate to even think about it. I've grown, never grown to preach in the way that I feel like I would like to. I've never felt like I've been able to speak of the Lord Jesus way, Christ, in a way and in a manner that he deserves. But I'm thankful that he has given me an understanding that I today, that through faith in him, I'm so comfortable with this life and what's after this life that it just doesn't trouble me at all. You know, I've grown to the point. So many people in this day and this time will spend millions of dollars and don't want to live nowhere but close to the hospital and all those things. I hope and pray that I could stay that way till my last breath. It doesn't trouble me at all. It doesn't trouble me at all. I feel it's in the Lord's hands. When my time is finished, he'll take care of it. But you know, I don't fear it. If anything, I look forward to it. I look forward to it. But you know, every time I get to there and I say that I look forward to death, I'm not fearful of death. It always comes back to my mind and it troubles me. What are we leaving behind? When the Lord takes me away from here, what am I leaving behind? Am I leaving his church? Am I leaving here the heritage, the church, the truth in the church? Is it going to be established? Is it going to be there for my children, my grandchildren, your grandchildren, and your children after and after and after? I would hope and pray so. I would hope and pray so. You know, there's so many instructions in the scriptures, and as I said, I think we've become so easy. You know, I made a statement one time to one of my family and asked her this question, are you just a Sunday morning Christian? And I thought I was going to have a fight on my hands. But are we? Are we? Are we serious? Are we serious about our Father's business? Are we serious about the Lord's church? Do we want it to continue? Do we want it to be the blessing to our descendants of our family and so forth, for them to have the privilege, if God calls and chooses to elect him into the church? Is the church going to still be here that they can enjoy what we are having today? Not so, it won't. If we today, we don't do that which God has given us everything to do with. It's built upon him, it's built upon his foundation. It's built upon the truth of Christ. And you know, some people, I just hope and pray, there's so many things. Grace, saved by grace. if we could realize grace, if we could just first and foremost, and as I told Brother Robert this morning, the first thing that we've got to accomplish in this life is realize that we're doomed, that we're nothing, that we need a Savior. If you don't need one, then you wouldn't be here today. In order to get to there, we've got to realize that we're depraved, dead in sins and in trespasses, and no way in this world that we can get out of except through and by the grace of God.
Amen.
Through and by His grace. You know, oh wretched man that I am, Paul says, who shall save me from this body of death? Oh, it's wonderful. And you read about the victory has been won. The battle is over for the Lord's people. The judgment day is over for the Lord's people. All of these beautiful and wonderful things that the Lord has done in our stead and taken care of for us, and yet have so few people that entertains and enjoys and wants to hear this and to be part of it and to help to spread this amongst our family and friends and in our communities and wherever we be. We should not keep, you know, the scripture will, don't hide it under the bushel. Let your light so shine. Let your light so shine. I'd say to you, there is nothing more encouraging, and it troubles me sometimes how seldom that it happens. And I know that I go to the stand a many time, troubling myself and wondering what the people want to hear. You know, sometimes I pray and I would hope, and occasionally, and I'll tell you it's a great help, when one comes forward and asks questions pertaining to the scripture, and I don't say that I'm going to have an answer, but I say to you that if someone comes and wants to know something about the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope and I pray that the Lord would bless me to be able to give you an answer, I've always said, and I'll always believe, that the Lord will give us all that we need if it's going to return to His glory, to His praise, to His honor. We walk after the flesh, we serve the flesh. We walk after the Spirit, and He'll fill us again. We use that portion of Spirit that He's blessed us with. We'll be filled again. We're told in the Ephesian letter, I think towards the end of it, to be ye filled with the Spirit. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Saying that there's something we must do. Something, it's not just going to happen with me down yonder doing something else and separated from God. I need to be close to Him. I need to daily, but not every hour, not every minute of your life, but I need to not never be very far from Him. When I do that, I suffer. But let me read to you a few verses of the Colossian letter here, starting at the 10th verse in the first chapter. It says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even to forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body of the church. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, give us again the privilege that was lost in the garden, in the beginning, in the creation. I've thought so many times about the words and how God and dealt with people through the Old Testament times and through the law. And you know, the law was all about nothing but death. Nothing but death. And the law, in reality, brought the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in fulfilling the law. But the law was all about things that we couldn't do, things that we couldn't accomplish. It was the end of the law was death because of sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ, having fulfilled that, reconciled us. In the Old Testament times, it was to stay away from God. We couldn't even approach close to him or anything of that nature. But now, the wonderful words that he gives us, the privilege to call him Father, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our elder brother, our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now, it's not go. It's not stay away from me. But it's come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. What? How can we run from that? How can we not want to hear that? How can we not? I mean, that's just so wonderful to me that I just don't know how to explain it. And I'm going to say this crazy thing, and I'm going to get out of the way. I don't want to hear these other brothers preach. You know, many things in the scriptures we are compared to. You know, even there's a big long list of man, things that he's considered. I mean, we're considered as a sheep, poor old dumb sheep that don't know how to take care of himself and has to have a shepherd to lead him and follow him wherever he goes to keep him out of trouble. And that's what our Lord Jesus Christ does and has done. And then there's a list of things that describes the man of sin. You know, serpents. I can't think of all of them, but there's a whole list of them. Donkey, wolf, raving wolves, whole bunch of them. But you know, the one that really always sticks with all of us is the sheep. And the Lord being the shepherd over the sheep. He knows his sheep and all that. We've heard that. It's a wonderful story in the 10th chapter of John. But you know, this thought comes to me the other day, and my mind always gets into some funny thoughts. And I get to thinking, how can I spend so many years, if you will, so distant, so far from the Lord Jesus Christ, so far from the gospel, and then become so encouraged and so your desire just grow and grow to be close to it and to know more about the Lord and all this. How does this all happen? Well, you know, I started thinking about this. In a seed, we all know a little bit about gardening and farming and so forth. But you know, a seed, whatever kind of seed, a seed of grain or whatever, squash seed, any vegetable seeds or grain of corn or whatever, it can lie dormant. It can lay in a dry place in the right temperature and so forth, and other elements missing from it, and it can lay for years and years and years and years, and if nothing happens from it, it'll lay there just exactly as it is. It won't change. But then, along comes somebody and start doing these other things to it. You put it where there's light. You put it where there's moisture. You put it where there's warmth, and something happens. Something starts growing. And you know, really and truth, all of those things, light, warmth, the moisture, you know, if the moisture comes from nowhere else, it's when sometimes our heart's broken, our heart is pricked, and the water flows. The water flows. Sometimes not because we are sad, but tears of joy. Tears of joy we shed for what the Lord did for us. The warmth that comes from realizing and understanding the love that He had for me. And all these things starts coming together. Isn't that somewhat what happens to the seed, the same that happens to a child of God, the warmth? You remember what the two boys on the road to Emmaus said as the Lord preached to them, if you will, the gospel? He said, didn't our hearts burn within us? Doesn't your heart, why doesn't all the Lord's people's heart burn within them as they hear this good news? Why? You know, do we try to put the little spark out? You know, all fire starts really, really small. Just a spark. But tended to, proper attention, become a humongous fire, a great fire. Same thing can happen with our relationship with the Lord. If we fan it, if we tend to it, if we make our effort to grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, if we make the effort that we should as the Lord's people, and not because you were demanded to, but because love has made you want to. You know, I've said this so many times, and I'm sure that people not happy with me sometimes when I say it. But if you're not where you want to be this morning, you really just well to not be here. Just well to not be here. I want to be here. I want to worship and praise the Lord. I want to be able to speak of His glorious name in a manner that would be of edifying to you, that would build you up, and that would encourage you to be closer to Him. To read and to study His Word, to know His Word. Why? For the same reason that you come today, you come to hear the good news, that you spread the good news too. You know, the last words, you know, I've said so many times, the last words, or close to the last words in our scriptures. I'm going to read them in closing. I think this is to the church. It's to us. And I feel like that I know that I fail in my part in it. The 17th verse, well, I would start at the 16th verse. Last chapter of Revelation says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I think that was a message to us. It's a thing that we should do. He's talking to the bride. These are instructions to the bride. We are, I hope and pray, the bride. I pray the Lord bless and keep you until we meet again. May God bless you.
Stand and sing the second verse of number 1.